Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 264 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Monday, January 30th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, it's the 2023 season premiere of the podcast.
We're there.
We're here.
Yeah, we're here. I don't know. Eric, as you know, I'm Mr. Shorter Schedule.
Right.
But it seems like the off season gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Like, I don't even know what happened. It's gone.
On some aspects, I feel that way, but I'm also itching to get back.
Yes. And maybe it's because football's going longer now. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
I stopped watching football when the regular season ended. So.
Yeah. Everything's moving too fast for me. It might just be my whole life.
You're getting old, man. That's what's happening.
It's not NASCAR's fault. It's my fault. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you're catching up to me.
You're going to love this. Oh, I saved this for while we were recording. But this week I was at a function and was approached by someone. And as they were walking away and were talking to their significant other, they said, "I thought that was the grandfather."
Oh,
I was like, whoa, wait a second. Hold on. I'm not that old.
I'm gonna bust his ass.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I don't let stuff get to me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm pretty sure I haven't gotten a grandfather comment yet. I don't know.
And I was like, I don't look that much like my dad, but apparently I must. I don't know.
Wow.
He's a lot grayer than I am, but maybe I am that gray. I don't know.
You don't look old to me. I like to give you a hard time because you act like an old man, but you don't look old.
Well, now it's taken its physical form. So
yeah, I guess.
the foundation was laid many years ago, Eric. So now I really am turning into Larry David right in front of our eyes. So.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yep. Oh my God!
Wow!
So that's how my off season came to a crashing halt. So
yeah,
but here we are. We are less than a week away from the Clash.
The Clash.
I am looking forward to this one.
It's a little weird because we kind of start and then we have a off week already right after it before we go to the 500. So it's a little weird. Not quite the same as it used to be, but at least we get to do a different thing. Before we get into the news and all that stuff and our discussion, I did want to point out I'm sure if you're seeing the podcast and you're listening to the podcast, you saw the cover art. I appreciate everybody for voting. We chose the Darlington cover, so that will be our cover art this year. So thanks again, everybody who participated in that. There weren't a ton of yous, but we appreciate it. Made it a little easier on us, I guess. It was close. It was a tie, James. So right at the end, we had a tiebreaker at the very end. Mm-hmm. Somebody came in at the last minute and voted. So,
yep. That's fantastic. Yeah. Like I said, I think on the last episode, the North Wilkesboro one is so awesome.
Yeah.
But that Darlington one is a no brainer any other time. So
right.
I feel like the right cover art it was chosen.
Yeah.
That Darlington one's pretty badass. So. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I don't think we could have went wrong with either of them. So, but I'm happy with it. The Darlington one really was my favorite. I just felt like there was some nostalgia with the North Wilkesboro one that was necessary. But
a worthy challenger. That's for that is for dang sure. It was a really tough choice between the two.
Exactly. And I don't know.
I kind of like that you did that.
Yeah, that was fun. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast. You and I have talked about it, but just a heads up for everybody listening. We're going to change format, I think, a little bit this year. Instead of doing complete race breakdowns and all that stuff, we'll kind of just do some topics of the race that we want to discuss as we go, and we'll mix that in with the news and all that stuff. So a little bit different this year. You kind of get a little taste of it tonight with some of the news, but it's kind of, similar to what we've done before. Just we don't need to go in the full race recaps. We want to just kind of concentrate on the things during the race that are worth talking about. And we assume most of you guys have watched the race, so or at least know what happened in the race. So we don't need to delve into all the little silly little details. So hopefully that'll change the format up, speed things up a little bit this year and just kind of change things a little.
Yeah. And I think too, with news, hopefully you're listening to our show and you want to hear our opinions on things. And I think that's where, we'll be able to, add a little bit of value to the news that you already get to see. Everybody's on Twitter or whatever these days, and they can, they can see the news, and maybe they miss something here and there, but for the most part, you know, I think it gives us a chance to kind of share our opinions and, you know, what we're thinking or where we're coming from. And I think that adds a little bit of meat to what's going on, you know, if you're a fan of the show. So I think that's going to be a nice little caveat for what we're trying to do. I kind of like a, you know, we've been doing this for a while now, so
right.
A little bit of a format change is going to be a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I don't think either of us are fooling ourselves that we're breaking news to you guys. You guys mostly have heard this stuff already. You're tuning in because you want to hear us talk about it. So that's what we're going to do. If for some reason you don't like the format, give us a shout, let us know. We'll gladly look at changing things up again. But that's kind of what we're going to spin forward as we go through the season.
Yep.
So otherwise, it's going to be the same podcast you know and love. We'll have the Fantasy League back. James will be getting that set up, I hope, because I'm not doing it.
Yeah, next, boy, I better get that ready for the next episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll get an announcement. We'll push it out on Twitter. I'll make sure that we share it and maybe put it on the Facebook page as well so we have all the access. I will take care of it this week. let's get it ready. Let's get it early. Actually, last time I checked, last week, they weren't ready to put the new leagues out just yet. So I'll check back in this week. And, you know, we're recording on a Monday, so right. I got an extra day now. So I'll make sure that we are ready to roll. Hopefully people keep showing up. You know, I know I kind of, you know, ruined the fun last year for everybody. So we'll get that happening again for sure.
Yeah, I will put up a good prize for somebody who will beat James. That's all that I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it'll be worth it for you.
You know when, remember when Dale Earnhardt was in the midst of, you know, his domination in the early 90s, and he won in 91 and 92, wasn't it? No, it was 90 and 91, right? He won 90 and 91.
Right.
And then in 92, he just had a horrible year.
Yeah.
And then he won again in 93 and 94. And I think that might be what Ranger's going to do here.
Yeah. You're so scared of him. He is so in your head, man.
I know. He scares me, man. He had a bad year last year and still almost rallied at a point in the season where I was like, God dang it, here he comes.
Right.
So, yeah, the GOAT. I mean, yeah, we have other champions, but the GOAT is the GOAT. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's how I'm approaching it these days.
There you go. Let's get into some of our discussion topics. We'll start with negotiations ongoing between NASCAR and the teams for their new revenue deal. Motorsport.com reports that the teams are optimistic that they will come to some sort of solution. I mean, we've kind of known that there's been a lot of posturing in the media over the off season with this. And I mean, James, I don't think you doubt that. I certainly don't that they're going to come to a solution. I just don't know if it's going to be what the owners specifically want, and how much NASCAR is willing to bend on this. But the sooner they can get it done, the better.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit more actually before the pod that teams are circulating around between $16 and $18 million per car on the high end for some of this revenue. That seems possible with the new TV deal. And I mean, Adam Stern says it's possible, so I guess I'll trust his expertise. But Eric, that changes the game. If that's going to be a sustainable business model moving forward. I mean, the teams don't have to ask so much out of these sponsors. They have a steady revenue stream coming in that they can guarantee will be there from year to year, just like a sports franchise. And then the charter system doesn't go away. You realize
it's not going to change anything, though, because they're still going to get as much as they can out of the sponsors.
And they're going to try, yeah.
Yeah, and if the economy turns around and suddenly there's a bunch of sponsors waiting to get in, we're just going to end up back in the same situation again.
I think, though, Eric, and you know, feel free to disagree with me here. I think it brings the floor closer to the ceiling a little bit. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I mean, you don't want... It's not right if NASCAR's making a buttload of money and the teams aren't. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the way it's always been, too. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, it's not the NFL. They're not all, you know, it's a different system and the teams deserve the team. I mean, NASCAR is nothing without the teams.
That's right.
So the teams should get their share and it should be a more equal share. And I'm not saying that it should be equal because the teams are nothing without NASCAR either. So, You know, and there are other places they can go, but there really isn't. I mean, there's nowhere that these teams can go that they're going to get the eyeballs that they have with NASCAR right now, and it would take a lot to build that up. And even if we did split, we saw what happened with IndyCar and CART. It won't go better for NASCAR. I mean, so
it's
in nobody's best interest to split. So
right, it's a different era now. Yeah. There's I mean,
these it would be worse now. It would be more devastating for NASCAR than it was for IndyCar.
Yeah, and it's you know, NASCAR and I think most sports leagues are not as stable. NASCAR seems to be on pretty solid ground, but they are not. You look at what's going on in golf. I think maybe that's the best. That's the best comp here. And you've got the LIV Tour, which just can't seem to get off the ground because of different things. But it has put a damper on the PGA. And who knows if LIV makes it or not, if they keep running at a loss. But, you know, I think what was uncovered was, yeah, you can have problems with another tour starting up. But the big problem is the golfers aren't getting, you know, a big enough piece of the pie. And that's, you know, where you see some of this jumping off with, you know, the Saudi Arabia backed LIV Golf Tour. And I mean, that's endless, you know, endless money. You know, I don't know if motorsports has that option or if NASCAR has that option, but you know, Eric, we saw over the weekend as well that F1 was valued at $20 billion. Mm-hmm. As the Saudis have also explored that option. NASCAR's value is nowhere near $20 billion, but, you know, it's just kind of an awakening of, oh man, there's some value here, especially for live TV rights.
Right.
And all these,
that's the biggest thing is that's the last of the TV money right now is live TV.
That's right.
So everybody is going for these live TV deals are huge because it's the only people that you can get to watch TV when you have your program on, you know, it's not delayed. It's not delayed programming. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I mean, you know, I like to liken to Supercross. Supercross is all streaming this year for the most part. They're on Peacock most of the season.
Yep.
You know, and I guess we can dip into that a little bit, you know, Amazon, potentially wanting a piece of the NASCAR streaming pie as well. That's one of our discussion topics. Of course, Fox and NBC have exclusive negotiating rights, to start with. But once that opens up, Amazon's going to probably be interested. You know, I would assume Apple will be interested. Apple's been trying to get sports, but most people won't play with Apple the way that Apple wants them to.
Yes. Yeah. You got to follow their rules if they want.
Basically Apple doesn't want to charge more. They want it to be rolled into, because Apple was in the running for football.
Yes.
But they didn't want to charge, users more to watch the football programming.
Right.
So
yes. I still think too that we might see ESPN become a player, and I think we should explore that as a sport as well. It's just the amount of eyeballs that are on ESPN is still very powerful. You know, I liken it to Facebook, where, you know, people say Facebook's a dying thing, or, you know, it's just popular with the old people, but, you know, part of my job every week is to look at the data and the analytics behind social media accounts and guess which one's the best.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that there's still room for ESPN. And as you see them getting into SRX, I wonder if there's some interest there for a smaller piece of the pie too, to maybe get involved. But it's tough because Amazon can come in and pretty much name their own price.
Right.
And they can outbid anybody.
Yeah.
So we're gonna find out what NBC and Fox are able to do here. I'm glad that there's another player looming, especially a tech giant like Amazon that's got the funds. I think it's gonna, honestly, Eric, it's better for NASCAR for these companies to compete against each other and give these teams a bigger piece of the pie too.
I just hope it's Amazon or Netflix or ESPN Plus, because I have all those services.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I don't want to buy another one.
Yeah, you know,
don't go on Paramount, please. I don't have a Paramount subscription.
Yeah. I don't think Netflix is ever going to get into the live game at this point.
I think if Netflix did anything, they'd do Formula One, probably.
Yeah, if they could, but they couldn't even beat ESPN out for that one.
Yeah.
So I just don't know if it's in their business model to.
I doubt it. Netflix has got enough going with what they've got. Now they're going to crack down on password sharing, and that'll crank their revenue up for a while. They won't need live sports for a bit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they will be fine.
Yeah. Let's see. Where do we want to go next, James? There's all kinds of stuff. We have an official tequila of NASCAR.
Cabo Wabo, baby.
Cabo Wabo. I just every put this in here for the hell of it, because
it's just good for a good laugh. Well, every time I hear Cabo Wabo, I think of the movie Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
And it just makes me laugh. So,
I mean, it does. There's a little bit that has always bothered me about alcohol sponsorships in a driving series.
But they've always been there.
I know. They've always been there.
Nothing says NASCAR more than alcohol and smokes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Little lightning darts, you know.
Yeah. So I was not aware that there was not an official tequila of NASCAR, but now there is. So there you go.
I thought, what's Dale Jr.'s tequila? High Rock?
Yeah. He doesn't have the money to pump in that Cabo Wabo does, apparently.
He's getting, well, yeah, Cabo Wabo's got a big amount of money. I still wish that Jack Daniels would get back in the game, because I loved that race car.
That was a pretty race car.
When they had the 07 going, but yep. Maybe someday. And remember when they came back for, that was a couple years ago now, but Austin Dillon ran the Jack Daniels ski. That was always my favorite, you know.
I don't know. I really like the old Crown Royal cars.
Oh, yeah, the Crown Royal cars were good.
I like the colors.
Harvick ran some good Budweiser schemes, too.
Yeah, oh, Budweiser's had great schemes along the way.
Yeah, along the time. But, yeah, Cabo Wabo's a new one, so we'll see how that goes.
There you go. Any doubts of Chase Briscoe losing his ride over to SHR are out the window now. He's signed a multi-year agreement. What do you think of that, James?
I love this move. I love this move. There's a few reasons for it, and feel free to, you know, interrupt me as I go here, but I got a couple of reasons.
Oh, don't worry, I will.
Oh, good, okay. So, number one, I think Chase Briscoe showed that he's the future. You know, you've got Kevin Harvick step with one foot out the door now, and we know that for sure.
Yep.
Signing someone like Chase Briscoe is a bet on the future that he's going to be the anchor of the team down the road. Might not be for a year or two yet.
Is he that guy? Does he have that ability?
He needs time, but that's what SHR is allowing him now.
Yeah.
Is the time. But also at the same time, it's a big bet for SHR, but I think it's a perfect fit for Chase Briscoe. He grew up a fan of Tony Stewart. Now he drives his car. I don't know, you know, some drivers out there may have eyes for other teams from time to time, especially when they're young drivers are trying to get through the door. But I don't think Chase Briscoe would want to drive anywhere else. And this, you know, you've got a guy who wants to be with your team. He loves what he does with your team. He is not, you know, there's no up for him to go anywhere else. You lock him down now. So if he does pop over the next couple of years and becomes that franchise guy, he's your franchise guy. You don't have to worry about him, you know, Toyota coming after him, for example, or Hendrick. You know, if Chase Briscoe has a 5-6 win season here, you got him, and you're getting him at a low price, I would assume, as well, as revenue is about to jump.
Right.
So there's a lot of value to signing a young driver with a lot of talent early. I think this might be the first of a few teams maybe trying to jump the gun on that next contract to get these guys locked in at a smaller rate.
Well, a couple of things I'll add to is, one, I mean, there's really not anybody in the Stuart Haas pipeline that you'd be like, wow, man, they're really taking a chance on Chase here and not giving them a seat. I mean, Cole Custer just got sent down back to the minors. Yes. So, I mean, and then the other thing is if you really look at the landscape of the sport, of course, you probably could have said the same thing about the beginning of last season, but I mean, we had a silly season with Kyle Busch and all the movement with him and Reddick and all that.
Yep.
But I just don't see a big list of drivers jumping around this year. I think they've already gobbled up a lot of the contracts that were hanging out there. I think there's a couple more still sitting there, but mm-hmm. I mean, who is really going to jump around that you could grab in place of Chase Briscoe? So you want to lock him in
exactly
before there's other opportunities somewhere else. I mean, you got Eric Jones isn't going anywhere now. He's going to be sticking. I mean, as long as he can, he's going to stick with Legacy. They've got a good deal going over there. They got Gregson locked in over there.
Yep.
You know, you've got, I think, isn't Blaney like the one that's hanging out there still?
Yep, Blaney's out there.
I don't see Blaney going anywhere.
No, unless, yeah, I don't know. But I still think, I still think Stuart Haas Racing goes after a whale if they can.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? Especially you're opening up a seat next year.
Yeah.
Are you opening up a seat, but you're opening up a championship seat.
Yes. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And I don't see them calling Cole Custer back up to the four car to, you know,
no.
Satisfy the sponsors of SHR. But you leave that four car open and I don't know, you give Ryan Blaney a meeting. Ryan Blaney a meeting. He's one of the guys.
All you gotta do is tell him he doesn't have to shave, and that's a step above Penske.
Tell Blaney he can be himself over here. Come over here and race whatever you want. You know, there's some synergy there. We've seen Ryan Blaney in the SRX car, and we know Dave is a dirt guy.
Yeah.
So there's some synergy there. I don't know. I know there's a handful of guys out there. I think Blaney's probably the big whale that's available that you can go after. But other than that, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I would explore Eric Jones if possible. If you can pry him out of there, seems like it's going to be harder now.
It's going to be really funny to say this, but if I'm Eric Jones, I am not going anywhere.
I would, you know, if I were Eric Jones, I'd sit tight and see how the first half of this season goes.
Yeah.
And if it's looking like they got something cooking, then I would probably hunker down. But it's hard, you know, even with Jimmy Johnson coming on board and setting a tone here, it's hard to know that one of the big teams might have an opening that could bump you up into a little bit higher contention too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think as much as I love Eric Jones, I think the first guy on the list has to be Blaney, and then you go from there. But, you know, Eric Almirola is probably coming back, I would assume, again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to retire like he wanted to.
No.
It's going to be tough because Stuart Haas could have a couple of seats still open. So yeah. we're gonna find out here how this goes. They're in an interesting spot.
Yes, they are. Let's see. Tony Stewart's back. He's going to be in the booth at the Clash, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, in the Daytona 500. Good to see Smoke return into the booth, I think.
I like it.
That'll be good. He brings some good insight to those races. He did a good job last year. I loved hearing him during the 500. You know, what better person to have than the guy who almost won it a bunch of times and never got that win. So
he's keeping the seat warm for his current driver at four car until he gets that job next year.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, Tony does a great job in the booth. The more we can hear him, the better.
He's great, good insight. In spots. Absolutely. So, yeah. I like him doing spots. I don't think he wants to do a full-time run, but
he's got too much stuff to do. He's got to go drag race.
He's drag racing. He's SRX racing.
Yeah.
I was worried about him not racing SRX, but he's posting on Twitter. He's got his SRX shirt on. So I think he's racing, man. I was getting a little worried about him, but he's okay. He'll be fine.
Somebody who's not racing, James Elio, is not going to run the 500 this year.
Yeah, didn't come together.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that was going to be a thing, but maybe next year.
There's a lot of, I mean, there's, it's this, it's going to be interesting this year in the duels.
Yes.
To see what happens. I was listening to, I think it was Corey LaJoy's podcast. Maybe it was Door Remember Clear when they went live on Dirty Mo, but they brought up something interesting that I didn't think about, that Jimmy Johnson is going, you know, to you're going to try to run this race. They said there is no way that Jimmy Johnson doesn't get in on time. And they're right. They're going to put everything into that car, and they're going to qualify. It wouldn't be surprising to see him on the pole.
Yeah, I would think that he's going to be up there. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, there's no reason that he shouldn't be locked in on time. So it's going to make it interesting for those guys that need to get in, because you've got a few back there. It'll be fun.
It will. Travis, you know, is the one. I'll be kind of rooting for Travis to make it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But hopefully he can.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll bring a rocket. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. We're gonna see. Wouldn't that be quite? That would be one of the great front rows of all time. Johnson and Travis Pastrana. Wow.
Pastrana in this race would be the greatest thing. They're running a contest right now. You can get tickets, or you can basically get VIP passes to go hang out with Pastrana during the 500 weekend. A $5,000 value. It keeps popping up in my Facebook feed. It's like, man, that would be fun to go hang out with Pastrana at the 500.
He would be, he'd be the best.
I've never gotten to meet the guy. My parents met him, and he was super cool, but I've never got to meet him.
Yeah, he's got legendary stories of being good with fans. running barefoot across what was the old Irwindale?
Yeah.
Irwindale, because he had to talk to fans and signed his shoes and handed them over the fence.
Well, he was supposed to make an appearance at a Suzuki dealer show when my parents were there, and there was a snowstorm canceled his flight, and he drove to make sure to get there. So
yeah, that sounds like Travis.
Yeah. So
he ain't scared of a little snow after doing every the things that he's done.
Nope.
That ain't nothing.
We mentioned Jimmy Johnson. Speaking of him, Jimmy Johnson, Mike Rockenfeller, and Jenson Button will be driving the Garage 56 entry at Le Mans. I don't think the Jimmy Johnson announcement is a surprise, right? We figured that was going to happen.
No, he was posturing to get that ride.
Yeah.
Right from the start. Yeah. So.
I'm familiar with Jenson Button.
He's a Formula One world champion.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. 2009, I believe. Yes.
Yep.
Rockenfeller, I know the name, but I can't place it.
He's a road course kind of one of those road course ringer types.
Yeah.
You've seen him. I mean, the name's familiar to NASCAR fans for, you know, probably Watkins Glen and
right
Sonoma. You'd see Mike Rockenfeller run those types of races. Probably more so with probably the Xfinity Series.
You say I've seen remember him being in the Xfinity Series a couple times at the Glen.
Yeah. Sophia, they ran. Xfinity Series runs a lot of road courses, so you've probably seen him quite a bit out there. But yeah, he's one of those Borisov types to give a comp.
Yeah. This Garage 56 thing too is still contributing to the Cup Series as well. They did test some aero stuff for short tracks that they learned from this entry as well. Yep. Doesn't sound like it worked out, but yeah, at least they're learning stuff from this and bringing it back to the Cup Series. So that's cool.
Yeah. And the braking as well. I was reading on some of that, because you know, they're trying to build a car that lasts 24 hours.
Right.
So we're going to, you know, there's a lot that has to go into it. I can't wait to see this car go.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
The people that were upset about Hendrick getting an advantage with this car, just look at this car.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It doesn't look much like a Cup car, that's for sure.
I mean, it resembles a NASCAR race car, but it's that's about it.
Yeah, right.
It looks like it's about as common to a NASCAR car as your street car is.
Let's put it this way: those of you who want to open up the rules and just let teams have at it, that's what you would get.
Yeah, it's a Frankenstein's monster of a race car.
Yeah,
it looks cool though. I mean.
Yeah,
it's going to be neat to see if that car can make it all 24 hours.
Can you imagine that thing racing on the dirt at Bristol?
Oh my God. I'd love to, I would have loved to have seen it this past weekend at the 24 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah. They didn't, not ready obviously, but
right.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. It would have been cool. Toyota's looking to add some more cars to 2020 to their stable in 2024, James, which also brings up the question, where do they go? Cause they're not adding entries. So which team or teams is Toyota courting for 2024 and beyond? Who do you think?
I can tell you who they're not.
Yeah.
Stuart Haas is probably a no, right?
Right.
Hendrick.
Yeah. Hendrick's not going anywhere.
And I would say Richard Childress as well, because they just let Kyle Busch wander on over there. So they probably aren't going
to, you would think,
probably aren't going to go sign with Childress.
Yeah.
And any of the, there was a time where I would have said, there's no way Jack Roush would ever go with a Toyota, but that might be the one to watch. That might be the one to watch.
Well, I really think that team is a lot less Jack Roush now.
Yes,
I think so. And a lot more Brad Keselowski.
Yeah, would you rather be the third Ford team or the second Toyota team, you know? Because I think you could, I know we have a lot of high hopes for 2311, but you could leapfrog 2311 if you went with Toyota, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's more of a possibility. It's tough because that could be a lateral move for an RFK. But it could be a big boon for them as well. So you gotta, I guess, weigh the options. But Toyota's got a pipeline problem.
Yeah.
And it was definitely identified with Kyle Busch and Ty Gibbs this past year.
Yep.
And now I think that's one part of the reason they need one more team to facilitate their talent.
Well, they said that their goal was to have a quarter of the field, and they've just never gotten there.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think they feel,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think TRD feels, feels kind of blocked by Joe Gibbs Racing.
Right.
I feel like they would like more control and more flexibility, but Joe Gibbs Racing kind of, you know, can steer the ship any which way they want.
Right.
When it comes to that. And then, you know, they have an affiliate team now with 2311, and you can't tell me that's not a Joe Gibbs extension. So it's pretty tough, to find a home for some of your guys.
The other one that I would say previously that would have likely been a possibility would be Petty GMS. But now that it's legacy with Jimmy Johnson, I don't see them moving from Chevrolet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but I would think Jimmy's got enough of a relationship with Hendrick still that, but maybe not.
Yeah. He did race a Honda for a couple of years.
That's true. But he's racing for
he's back with the Bow Tie Brigade.
Well, and he's racing with Hendrick at Le Mans, so
let me give you one more to consider. What about Roger Penske?
I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Penske, and I wouldn't put anything past Trackhouse either.
Trackhouse is another one, yeah.
I mean, I could see Trackhouse really flourishing with TRD.
That'd be a nice 2-car spot for them. That's not a bad one. I mean, I bring up Roger Penske because he's not married to any manufacturers.
No,
never has been.
No, I agree. So, I think he probably could be one of the better ones to, if they want more of an anchor team, that'd probably be one to go for. They might have an opportunity there.
Yeah, that would give a legit rival to Joe Gibbs too.
Yeah,
man, that'd be
it would be a step up for Penske, you would think, because they're not. I mean, they're not the top of the list on the Ford teams.
Yeah, and you get a legit championship contender with Joey Logano and probably Ryan Blaney if you can swing it.
I mean, they be the top tier of the Ford teams. I guess they have the past champion, but
let's get silly season going.
Yeah.
Ford wants to keep Ryan Blaney, and Penske goes to Toyota.
Yeah.
Slide on over to the Ford car.
That's so true.
Yep, there's some get the rumors going, baby. Let's go.
There you go. The only other thing we got on our list here, Indianapolis Oval, likely coming back sooner than later. I don't think this is any surprise, James, because I know that there was talk about it last year. We almost thought it would come back this year. One thing that was interesting in this article, though, is that they hinted, Doug Bolts, president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, commented that they may look at something to where they rotate it and run a year on the Oval and a year on the road course and back and forth, or a couple years here and there. I mean, it's a way to change things up and keep it interesting, I guess. I really want to see this new car on the Oval and see what it does.
Yeah. Just bring it back.
Yeah.
The road course was a fine experiment. Let's just put the Oval back out there.
I just think that there are races that the prestige is more important than the quality of the race. And I think we're going to see that with the Chicago Street Course. Again, we're not doing the Chicago Street Course because we think it's going to be a terrific race. We're doing it because of the importance to the sport. And I think that the prestige of racing at the Brickyard is much more important than having a good race there in the long run. And I don't think the Oval races have been terrible races. We've had worse races. I mean, Texas races have been worse than the Oval races were at Indy.
Yep. We've been running the Coke 600 for a long time.
Yeah.
Not the greatest race.
No, exactly. Last year it was, but not usually.
Yep. Everybody, you know, when everybody talks about, you know, some of the stinkiest races of all time, it's the Martin Truex Jr. Domination at the Coke 600, where he basically led 590 laps.
Well, how many?
Or 590 miles.
How many forgettable races if we run at Pocono? But we don't want to get rid of Pocono because it's a unique track.
Exactly. You make the races a little shorter.
Yep. Yeah. So, I don't know. I hope it goes back to the Oval. Like you said, you know, the thing is, too, is when we had two road courses, the experimenting with the third road course was kind of cool. But now we've got so many road courses, we just don't need the extra road course.
Right.
You know, and I'm still in favor. I know some people are, a lot of people aren't. I'm still in favor of keeping the Roval at Charlotte because it gives you two races at Charlotte without running the same track.
Yep.
But we don't run twice at Indy. So if we're going to only run there once, I think we should run the real track.
Right. I'm with you.
So there you go. Back.
Yep.
James, race season starts this weekend.
Oh my God.
It is the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum. Big news this week. Rob Lowe is the Grand Marshal.
Oh my God.
Whoopity doo.
Oh man.
But seriously though, what is
your... Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, right. I didn't actually mean to do that. That was completely on accident.
I caught it.
Completely on accident. This literally is going to be a great race. No. So
literally.
Yes. what's your anticipation going to this race? Last year we were excited but skeptical.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to this? Are you just like, okay, cool, the season's going to get started with this mess and then we'll move on to the real thing? Like, where are you at with this? Where does this race fit into your mindset now?
Yeah, I still am more anticipating the 500, obviously. That is like, that's the real kickoff to the season. This is a show. I am looking forward to it, though, because I think as an event, we were just, I mean, literally just talking about this. See what I did?
Yeah, right.
We were just talking about this, but it's a very important event. It was a lot of fun last year, and I think they can make it a little bit better this year. So I am optimistic that we're going to see a good show. I mean, it's not, listen, this isn't NASCAR racing. This is this is a freak show.
Yeah.
But you know, it's fun. It's a fun little freak show that we get to do, and I'm totally fine with it. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Like, it's different. It's crazy. I can't believe we put cars in a football stadium again, but
right.
You know, last year
it looks like the same track.
Yeah. Last year we were completely terrified of the new car.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, we're bringing a new car to this thing. This doesn't seem like a good idea. And if they can pull it off last year, this year won't be a problem. It'll be better. I have a hard time.
This race, James, will not. You cannot. I don't think you can base anything off of last year's race. This race is going to be.
It's a
completely different than last year.
It's just a thing.
Because we didn't know what to expect from the cars. Everybody was feeling them out. Not only that, but there were equipment shortages. People didn't have enough cars. They didn't want to tear their stuff up.
Yep.
They didn't want to come out here and embarrass themselves.
Yep.
None of that's there this year. They also know how hard they have to hit somebody going into a corner to move them.
Yep.
And they know that the Hail Melon works. So
I'd love to see somebody try that.
I mean, why? I mean,
they might go straight through it.
I'm trying to think. Turn four though is where that opening is. So you really couldn't do it.
Yeah, you can't melon it off
You'd wreck.
Yeah.
But Chastain will try it.
He might. He might. I think too, Eric, like this race to me is, you know, out of anything we've ever done in NASCAR, you take this race, maybe Bristol Dirt, and you put a bunch of numbers in a bucket and you pick out 10 of them and you run this race 10 different times and you get 10 different winners. Like I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to who could win this other than, you know, Joey Logano seems to win at new places all the time.
Right.
So maybe he repeats. I don't know, but yeah, this is going to be, it's just gonna be fun, man. It's just a party. This is just a party.
Yeah.
And we get to have a race in the middle of it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I love that we do this. So James, question.
Yes.
You are given the keys to the Clash.
Oh,
you can do whatever you want to do with it. So my question is, do you do this? Do you run the Clash where we're running it? Do you go back to the old Daytona? Do you go back to the road course at Daytona? Or do you pick option D and do something completely different with it? What do you do with the Clash if you're given the keys? I know I'm throwing you right out there.
You put me on the spot. Honestly, if you asked me that a year ago, if you asked me that 1 year ago, I say, go back to the regular Clash.
Yeah.
Couple pole winners and let's just
race them for 75 show, though.
Yep. And but that being said, the game has changed now. So what I would do is I would rotate this race to any stadiums that would take us.
Yeah. You are picking the same exact thing I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I just think I mean this is the opportunity to do it, Eric. Yep. This is the opportunity to do it. So you could in my world, I would even move the Clash in the schedule to accommodate a certain stadium. So if we wanted to run in East Rutherford out in New York, and you could run it out, you know, in the Giant Stadium.
Right.
Move it there. Move it to any of these outdoor stadiums that you that could hold it. I would circulate it around and make the schedule, you know, fit as needed.
I personally would like to see. I mean, it's nice to have this little appetizer at the beginning of the season, but I think we get enough with the duels and all that.
Yes.
I personally would start with the 500 and move this race to a second half all-star race, essentially. So we have two exhibition races we run throughout the year.
Yes.
We run Fox gets their all-star race, NBC gets their all-star race. And again, like you said, I would rotate this. That's the problem with where it is not to mention space, because the Coliseum is bigger than a lot of our football stadiums. But I mean, at the same time, if you shorten it, you know, a little bit, yes. Does that make a big difference? Probably not. Right. But you can't spend a month constructing a track during NFL playoff season.
Exactly.
You know, so
that's why, like, if you wanted to move this into New York or
right, you're going to cut out every major stadium in the country.
Yes.
Aside from college stadiums.
It's a logistical problem.
Yeah. Not only that, but you also tie up a stadium for more than a month, you know, that's
exactly,
I mean, they're going to have a couple of weeks after this is over to tear it up, mm-hmm. because they're going to be putting some other event in there and this is a big deal to hold it off that much, yeah. You know,
and I would consider another option for the Clash too, Eric, and using the model from our youth, of going to Japan.
Yeah.
Remember those days? This is an opportunity to run like at one of the large soccer stadiums out in Europe,
right.
Or, you know, wow. don't limit it to just the U.S., but know that kind of like the Eric, I'm outside my element here. Like your beloved hockey has the, you know, the Winter Classic.
Yep.
Rotate this bad boy around, yep. And just, you know, as the schedule fits, right? You don't have to run it 2 weeks before the Daytona 500 or the week before the Daytona 500.
Exactly.
Move this bad boy around and yep. make it fit without, you know, run it in December, you know. I know that sucks for, you know, some of the teams who want a break, Freddie Kraft,
right?
But you know, you would want to get some exposure. This is a good way to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options there.
Here's my prediction, James. This race, I believe it was a 2-year deal, was it not? This is the second.
I think this
deal.
Is the last one here. Yeah.
This race next year will be run outside the U.S.
I would. I think the Coliseum would be the favorite, but it's,
yeah,
it's barely the favorite, because I agree with you. I think this race is on the move.
I think so. And I think that, and I guess it, I will give the caveat that is barring it returning to LA, because, and this is based a small percentage on things I've heard, and a much larger percentage just on the fact that it's, you need the right size stadium to do it. And I don't think that there's many options here in the U.S. as there would be overseas. I think there's opportunities overseas, not to mention it is a NASCAR desire. If you listen to Ben Rhodes, it is a NASCAR plan to bring the sport out. I mean, and it's not just NASCAR. NFL wants to, talking about starting, or there's rumors of an entire division being, you know, overseas. So,
yes.
You know, it's something that everybody wants, the Formula One thing. They want the worldwide, and that's the way to do it.
Formula One is coming over here, and they are going to hold, the Formula One is holding two highly prestigious races in this country, plus COTA,
right?
Which is, I guess, more of your stand. Even still,
yeah,
you know, going to COTA for someone like you and me is very difficult, because it's, you know, more of a normal F1 race, still very expensive, but they are going high class, big time events in Miami and Vegas.
Yep.
And NASCAR is going to try to do something.
Well, if NASCAR sits here and lets Formula One come and invade its territory and doesn't branch out into Formula One's territory a little bit, they're making a mistake.
Yeah. You gotta push back a little bit.
As much as motorsports being popular is a good thing, Formula One is still a competition to NASCAR. They're still a competitor to NASCAR.
Yep.
Period. So.
Yep. Yeah, and NASCAR's got to do its due diligence as well at looking at Formula One drivers who can get over here and start doing a little bit of racing on our side, because we saw Kimi. Kimi Raikkonen, he raced for Project 91 last year. That was a big deal, especially because F1's very popular right now.
Yeah, and the life cycle of a Formula One driver is shorter, I believe, than a NASCAR driver. So I think you can get guys that, you know, maybe...
I don't see why NASCAR couldn't put something together. I know Daniel Ricciardo said he would love to, but doesn't think he'll ever have the skill set to do it. But I'd love to see... I mean, that guy could pop a little bit.
Oh, man.
I mean, Lewis Hamilton, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility to get him in a cup car someday.
The publicity of Lewis Hamilton coming and running.
You got to do it sooner rather than later, too. Like, like when he retires, you got to make a move.
Yeah, you have to capitalize on it right away.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing they got to, with this clash, you know, maybe tying it all together, that's the kind of opportunity you got to try to create. Is you got to get some of those worldwide stars in here to mix it up with our guys.
That's the problem, though, is how do you get a Formula One guy with a race on a quarter mile racetrack that is not anything like anything they've ever done?
I know. It's difficult. You know? So. It's so difficult. Exactly.
But you get the eyeballs on it at least, and that creates opportunities. So
exactly.
Or it doesn't, but I mean, you got to try it. And I think, that's what, I honestly think that's what, if it doesn't happen next year, I think we're going to see it in the next 3 years. We'll see it overseas.
Yeah, I think there's a plan.
If not this race, then a race. There'll be something done overseas with the Cup Series.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I don't think it's just, I don't think we're talking just Mexico or Canada. I think we're talking literally going overseas to run something.
Yep.
And I think it's necessary. I think it's really something that should be explored. As difficult as it'll be, as expensive as it'll be, it's something that they should do.
You know, it's funny, Eric, because I think the longer you and I do this, and we continue to kind of keep an eye on things, and we have our ways of, you know, watching the news or getting a feel for what's going on the inside of the sport.
Right.
Our opinions are starting to meld together a little bit more.
Well, we've always been, as much as we disagree, we usually end up coming to about the same.
We disagree to a point, but we always end up on some sort of common ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's hilarious because it's, you know, I mean, we got a good feel for, I think, what NASCAR's trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, you know, honestly, I think a lot of people do now, though, too.
Well, and it's not a secret. I mean, we've listened to guys like Ben Rhodes get out and talk about it. Ben was on how many podcasts last year talking about what they're looking to do. And I don't think it's a secret. I don't think Steve O'Donnell's kept it a secret. I think it's pretty obvious what their plans are going forward. And whether you like it or not, I mean, we weren't surprised.
Wait, Ben Rhodes or Ben Kennedy?
Ben Kennedy. Sorry, Ben Kennedy, not Ben
Rhodes.
Sorry,
I wanted to make sure
Ben
I got
Kennedy,
there.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
But I mean, even like the Chicago Street Course wasn't a surprise. We knew that was coming. You know, they've been telegraphing their decisions. And North Wilkesboro wasn't a surprise to us.
No, they put feelers out. Yeah. And as soon as, I mean, I think your reaction and mine were the exact same after that. After that late model race, which you attended, they delayed the repave. And our antennas went immediately to, uh-oh.
Yep.
I got a feeling something else is happening.
Right.
Because NASCAR saw that late model race go off without a hitch. And, and was like, oh, we can do that. Why can't we do that?
100%.
Yep. So I think that's just, you know, I think, too, this is just one of those things, like, you know, there's not a whole lot of NASCAR can do a lot with the schedule. Now we know that COVID taught us that there's a lot of things that can change with the schedule, but you can't change everything with the schedule, but this gives NASCAR an opportunity to, you know, this type of race gives NASCAR an opportunity to really get out of its comfort zone and do a few things. So I think that, you know, this race, at one time, this race was a nice way to award drivers and teams for, you know, the previous season, but that's gone.
That's not necessary anymore.
Exactly. We don't need to do that anymore. This has to be something else. Yep. And I love that NASCAR was not afraid to evolve. As skeptical as I was in the beginning, I'm glad that they, you know, came to a good conclusion here to do it this way. So
there is a lot more interest in this race, I think, even from our aspect, James, than there would have been if we were going back to Daytona to do it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be doing a podcast 2 weeks before the start of the season because of the Daytona clash, you know?
Yep.
So, on that note, I'm going to give you first pick because I won the championship last year.
This doesn't count for points.
No, it doesn't count for points.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is just throwing it out there. Your thought. Give me a pick for the winner of the 2023 Clash.
Since there's no points, I'm gonna wing it a little bit.
I was thinking about it too.
You know what? Justin Haley.
That's funny. That was who I was gonna pick.
Oh my god, we're getting too similar now. Yeah, give me Justin Haley for fun.
All right. I'm gonna go with a guy on a old new team, and I'm gonna go with Erik Jones.
Ah, good.
With Legacy, so
I was kind of hoping the Jimmer would try this race, but he's got more prestigious things to try.
Right.
Speaking of the I gotta ask you this.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Jimmer, did you see Denny Hamlin's comments on his new podcast about Jimmy Johnson?
Yes, about not wanting him to come back.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Speaking of which, I cannot wait for Denny Hamlin's new podcast.
Oh my god.
So good. Yeah, I heard it. And did you see that Denny's also making the rounds bitching about the championship format again?
Oh, honestly, I can't believe I'm going to say this. He's got a point.
Oh, jeez. Let's put it this way. So Matt Weaver posted something today. He shared out, or the other day, I don't know, today, yesterday, whatever. It was the anniversary of them announcing the playoff format that we currently have.
Yes.
And he reshared his post about it and commented that despite the fact that it takes the prestige out of the title, he much prefers this format. And I think that was the best way to say it. Like, I do believe that winning a championship is less of a prestigious thing now than it used to be because of this format. But it also is way more interesting than it ever was before because of this format.
And he is pushing his agenda.
Oh,
as
yeah.
much as he can. I know what he's doing. And I think everybody knows what he's doing. He's doing right. a thing. He's trying to protect his legacy a little bit.
Well, Denny doesn't have to protect anything, though. Denny has done, dude's got 3 Daytona 500s. I mean, right? 3 Daytona 500s? I'm
yep.
right of that? Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
He's won everything but the championship. He has nothing that he needs to protect. He, as much as people want to compare him to Mark Martin, James, I would go so far to argue that he is higher ranked than Mark Martin on the whole. He'd be on the Mount Rushmore before Mark Martin would. Let's put it that
way. I know Bianchi and Gluck are doing their 75 drivers of all time list. I listened to their podcast talking about it just a little bit. I don't know what to do with Denny Hamlin. I haven't put enough thought into it just yet because I'd like to maybe put my own list of, I don't know, top 20. I'm not doing 75. I'm sorry.
No, that would be fun. Maybe that's something we need to do this season.
Yeah, I would like to put our list of the greatest of all time together. I'm wondering how far down the champions poll I have to go to before I find myself saying, I can't go any farther. Denny Hamlin's got to be on here now.
Yeah.
Because he's I disagree with that guy quite a bit, but he's still one of the greats of all time. He wasn't clutch. And
right.
That means there's a few moments where he could have won the title.
As he said in that podcast clip, he said that he regrets racing in the Jimmy Johnson era, and he's not wrong.
Yeah, well,
there's a lot of drivers that feel that way. Yeah. Jeff Gordon. you know?
That's why, Eric, I've said this on the pod before, and I'll say it again, but that's one of the things as a Tony Stewart fan, I was most proud that he was able to get a couple during the Jimmy Johnson era because it was, you know, to be not a multi-time champion. You know, Kyle Busch, same thing. Kyle Busch got two somehow in the Jimmy Johnson era. I think that, you know, sorry, I know it stinks that Denny went up against him, but Denny could have taken one of those titles away from him and had the championship lead against him at one point. So it's not just that he was racing against Jimmy Johnson. That team let it get away from him.
Let me go back to your question about Denny's comments about Jimmy. Yeah. I don't think I disagree with him. I also am very concerned. Do you really think Jimmy Johnson, aside from maybe at Daytona, do you really think Jimmy Johnson is going to get back in a cup car that everybody else has an entire year of driving that he doesn't? Do you think he's going to get back in this car and be competitive on a part-time schedule?
I mean, if the parity of this car is what it is.
No way.
Eric, I'm telling
not
you,
not in a million years. Jimmy's going to come out and he's going to run 15th.
Jimmy's better still than a lot of guys.
He's going to run 15th on a good day.
That's fine, but that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, but when you're a 7-time champion and you have the legacy that he has.
His legacy is set in stone though.
But so was Richard Petty's. But how do you remember Richard Petty? As a race fan, how do you remember Richard Petty?
I remember him more for off the track as the ambassador. But
I remember Richard Petty as the guy who they had to change the rules in NASCAR to get him to allow him to race.
Yeah.
I remember the Richard Petty with the towel hanging out of his mouth that looked like he was going to die every time he got out of the race car.
Yeah.
I remember the Richard Petty that didn't win.
I remember Darrell Waltrip that way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to remember Jimmy. I'm not going to remember Jimmy Johnson that way. You're not going to remember Jimmy Johnson that way. But people that start watching the sport right now are going to remember Jimmy Johnson that way.
I don't know, man. He's.
I hope he comes out and he's competitive, but this is the NASCAR Cup Series, James. These guys are the best in the world. He's not going to come in here and run top 10 easily.
If I may.
Go for it.
for a moment. How do you remember Dale Earnhardt Sr.?
I mean,
he won his last championship was in 1994. He kept racing until the start of 2001.
He still won races though.
Yes, but he never got a chance to fall off because
I was around through some of his dominant eras. So right. To me, I remember him.
We lived through the entire dominant era of Jimmy Johnson.
Right. And again, I'm not arguing for me. I'm arguing. I mean, at least Earnhardt was competitive. He won in October the year before he died.
He did.
I mean,
he finished second in points that year too. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like
they were setting up to be pretty damn good in 2001. If you look at how Harvick did with missing a race or a couple of races, they still finished pretty well in the points. So Earnhardt would have been good.
Yeah. He didn't get a chance to fall off.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
but that's the thing. Like, okay. So Rusty Wallace was still competitive when he hung it up.
He was fairly competitive. Yeah. He retired a little young. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and he admittedly says, but I mean,
even but Mark he says Martin, he should have kept going. Yeah.
Exactly. Even Mark Martin, you know, was still mostly competitive until right at the very end. I don't know, man. I don't see it happening.
We're going down this rabbit hole.
I know. Denny Hamlin. Like thanks. Thank Denny.
Thank you, Denny, for giving us content.
Yeah. James, I'm just concerned that that's what he's going to do. I'm concerned that he's going
to
tarnish
it. I understand, but I think certain drivers get to a point where they were so great. It doesn't, he's not changing his legacy. He's one of three that's ever done it.
The problem is that everybody already doesn't realize how great Jimmy Johnson was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's the most underappreciated,
always forgotten.
Likely the greatest. I mean, we've declared him the greatest driver of all time on this podcast before.
Yep. I hated him so bad.
Yeah.
During that 5 championship run,
but he doesn't. I've never hated.
Yeah. I've never, and this is sports hate. I've always, Jimmy's been you know, I like Jimmy. But during that championship run of 5 in a row, he demoralized me as a fan. He kind of broke NASCAR.
Yeah, I almost wanted to quit watching.
Yeah, he's kicking everybody's
I declared
ass.
A few times that I wasn't watching anymore. I still watched, but I said I wasn't going to.
He owned half a decade.
Yep.
Just absolutely kicking everybody's ass, him and Chad Knaus. Unbelievable.
I just hope he doesn't ruin it.
I hope he
comes out and he's competitive. And, dude, if he comes and wins the Daytona 500, I'll be thrilled.
I just don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, I just think he's too great to really ever have it be ruined. Like, we won't remember his IndyCar run very much. But I tell you what, in the record books, he'll have run a really competitive Indy 500.
Yeah.
And I think people will remember that out of his IndyCar run, you know.
Well, and on the other note, I respect the guy because he doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care what people think.
Dude, he gets to do what he wants.
I mean, this guy basically was he's the greatest NASCAR driver ever and went and started over in IndyCar and made a fool out of himself at times and didn't have a problem doing that. Nope. So mad props to Jimmy for being willing to do that.
He just wants to have fun, man. And Eric, that's the thing I think, too. He's earned the right to do whatever he
wants. Oh, I agree.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
I agree. I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm just saying that I'm worried that he will tarnish his legacy.
Ugh.
And I hope he doesn't.
I don't think he will. I can't imagine he will.
There you go.
Oh, Denny, thank you.
Yes, I have a feeling Denny's going to provide us with plenty of talking points this season.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I really think he will. Anything we missed, James? Anything else we want to talk about before we head off to the Clash and get the season underway?
Nope. Let's as you say, let's go racing. I'm excited, man. The season's here.
Yeah.
We get a little break. We still have to celebrate football one more time.
Right.
Before we put football away for the year, but it should be a good way to start the year. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna check in and watch, I don't know, pretty much everything. I can't imagine I won't. There's no reason for me not to.
I think this will be a wilder race this year than last year.
I think so. These guys are just
gonna there'll be more crazy. bent. I mean, I guess it's plastic now, not metal, but there'll be more bent plastic or broken plastic and upset drivers at the end of this one.
Yes.
So it won't just be it was Blaney last year, right? It won't just be Blaney getting mad.
No, Larson got mad.
Yeah, that's right. No, they missed Blaney, remember, wasn't it?
Blaney was mad. Yeah, Blaney was mad too, but remember Larson?
Yeah, Larson wrecked
Haley.
Haley,
absolutely destroyed.
You know what's funny too, back to our picks. Neither of us picked Tyler Reddick, who, by the way, dominated this race till he broke last year.
Yeah, now he's in a better. Could be in a better. Okay. Eric, we're going to see Kyle Busch in the A car.
I know, I'm so excited.
This is going to be interesting, man.
I'm so excited to see the Richard Childress Racing, era begin for Kyle Busch.
Here's one more what if before we sign off, because Jordan and Jeff were talking about this on the Teardown. If Kyle Busch wins a championship with Richard Childress Racing and revitalizes that organization, how many championships is that worth? Because he leapfrogs some guys all time.
Yeah.
If he can return to form.
That's true.
With Richard Childress.
You would imagine taking a step down. I mean, I would consider that him taking a step down going to Richard Childress, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a lower profile team right now.
Yes. Yes.
I think it'll be better for Kyle in the long run, personally, yeah.
Can people stop with the, I know that Joe Gibbs is getting, or Kyle Busch is getting all these sponsorships with Richard Childress Racing. Can people stop handing out L's to Joe Gibbs Racing on this? Because I gotta tell you, if Joe Gibbs wanted to get sponsorship for Kyle Busch, they would have gotten sponsorship for Kyle Busch.
Right.
They never wanted him back.
Yeah.
They wanted to move on. I'm sorry. I hate to tell people this who may not realize it.
When Martin Truex Jr. re-signed, that was the end of Kyle Busch.
That was the end of Kyle Busch.
Exactly. There was no place to put the kid who they announced wasn't going to come to Cup next year.
Exactly right.
Yep. So
Richard Childress Racing doesn't win over Joe Gibbs Racing because they got sponsorship for Kyle Busch.
Right.
That's naturally going to happen when you are spending a little bit less.
Yep.
And you would have with Joe Gibbs Racing. So.
Yep, I agree. I think we talked about it last year. Everybody is in a better position after this. This move
Kyle
really
reset. Yep.
It really helps everybody. Joe Gibbs is going to be better off. Kyle's going to be better off.
Yep.
Brexton will be better off. we're good to
Chevrolet
go.
Chevrolet's better off.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, we get to see Ty Gibbs in the 54 too. Yeah, there's going to be a lot. This is kind of cool. New faces, new places.
Yeah. It'll be
so
fun.
It's gonna be good. Yep.
Really excited, fun. Man. James, as long as Twitter remains, where can they find
there.
You on social media?
At James Cush on Twitter. That's where you can find me.
Find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find old episodes of the podcast, show notes, links to articles we've discussed, past race coverage, photos, and much more. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe and continue to listen. We'll be back next week to break down the Clash, get a head start on the rest of the regular 2023 season. It's time. Race season is here. Everybody, we'll be back next week. Until then, let's go racing.